Section 1. The Framework. Chapter 1. Taking ownership of your part of the equation. This is where we start. One of the easiest things in the world to do is blame others or outside circumstances for where we currently are. It is never the outside circumstances. Using the outside world as my excuse was the number one reason I kept myself stuck for so many years. You most likely heard that you can't control what happens to you, but you can control the way you think about it, right? That sounded like total BS to me when I heard it. This was a wall they built up to protect myself from actual growth. No Leo, or really any human on the planet, likes to feel like the victim, like life is happening to them instead of the other way around. One of the things that we will talk about over and over again in this book is taking ownership of your part of the equation. Because no matter how you look at it, you're always a part of it. Not only are you a part of it, but from your perspective, you're the most important part of it. I remember hearing a story about two sons early on in my personal journey. They were identical twins born into a family where domestic violence, drugs, and alcohol were part of everyday life. Later in life, both brothers were interviewed. One of the brothers was what most of us would deem as extremely successful in their life. He had a great job he loved, two kids he adored, and a wife who really was his best friend. The other brother had been caught up in drugs and gangs, had been in jail multiple times for domestic violence, and did not have any close connection with his kids. When they asked both why they had turned out the way they did, they had the same answer. You see, because of the way that I grew up, I had no choice. One took what happened to him and turned it into his life sentence, while the other took it as an opportunity to see what he didn't want out of life, so he never went down that path himself. Even though this may be a made-up story, I can't tell you the number of times I've come across very similar situations in my real life. My own life isn't quite as dramatic, but it is similar in nature. My brother Joseph and I grew up in the same environment in Los Angeles. Our parents went through a divorce and we were struggling to make ends meet, so they didn't have much available time to spend with us and were always at work. That's when friends became a primary focus for my brother, while I started to pour energy into work so that at the end of the day I could buy some food since all we had in the fridge was beer and mustard. I'm not telling you this to make you feel sorry for me, and I'm glad I was put in that situation. Not only did it help me thrive, but it also taught me how I wanted to show up in life, especially as a parent. And no knock on my parents. They did the best they could with what they had, and I would not be the person I am today if they had not taught me so many valuable lessons. It made me step up and take ownership and responsibility, something that has helped me in so many areas of my life. My brother, on the other hand, took a different path. I love him to death, but peer pressure got the best of him. Having spent time around drugs, in custody, struggling with relationships, becoming a father multiple times over, yet still trying to be the best dad he can be, his life is much different than mine. And it's not because of the circumstances we were put into. It has everything to do with the ownership we took and our responses to those circumstances. What's crazy is that I had no idea why my brain went down that path because I knew nothing about what we are about to break down in this book. Some people consider it luck, but I feel it was much deeper than that. I believe there was something inside of me that knew that I needed to take ownership of my life again, which ultimately started me on a path that would require a whole lot of growth. Let me just start by saying that as you go through your own journey, it's not going to be perfect. I shortened up that story above, but remember, the reason I'm writing this book is because I screwed it up for a long time. Some of those lessons that I learned inadvertently from my parents started to shift into my life, and I didn't even realize it. Even though it may seem like a quick turnaround, it most definitely was not. There was plenty of negative stories and experiences that came up over the journey and continue to this day. That's because life is always going to be 50-50. You're going to make mistakes, have bad reactions, experience negative feelings, and that's okay. When Brooke Castillo, my mentor and creator of the Life Coach School, shared that with me, it helped me breathe a sigh of relief. There's no way around negativity unless you're not looking for a meaningful life. I heard this quote recently that said that discomfort is the price of a meaningful life. And I truly believe that you wouldn't be reading this book if you didn't want to create a meaningful life for yourself and for your family. When things get uncomfortable, even while reading this book, it's your job to lean in because your brain is trying to keep you comfortable. It's also a sign, though, that you need to hear that point more than the rest. One of the most important ways you can lean into the uncomfortable is to know that the answers are out there. There's a concept I learned early on that allowed me to change the way I took ownership of my life. It's the idea around having a closed and an open mindset. A closed mindset says that things are the way they are, they can't be changed, there is no answer, and the way we've always done it is the only way. This was me for decades. It's when you say, I don't have time, as if that's the truth. It's not the truth. Well, unless you say it is, and then believe it, over and over and over again, because then you'll manifest it every time. If you have an open mindset, that means you know the answer is out there. You just may not know it right now, and that's okay. There's something out there, a resource or a different way to do it that could make it possible for you. You've just got to be willing and open to finding it. Going from a closed to an open mindset is like going from thinking, I don't have the time, to how might I make the time? Can you feel how different those two statements make you feel? One feels like the fact that you don't have the time is set in stone, but the other says there's a possibility. What's incredible about our brains, and you'll learn more about this later, is that you will find what you seek. When you're open to the possibility, you'll find it. If you're closed off to anything different, you'll find that to be true too. Not because it doesn't exist, but because your mind is closed to not even accepting the idea. Ask yourself which one feels better for you. Now, I don't want you to think that if you have an open mindset in one area, it automatically transfers to the others, because it doesn't. You must do the work it takes to translate that into other areas. It does not happen automatically. There are some areas right now that you and I have closed mindsets around. Becoming aware of this is the first step. As we dive into the book and you start to picture the area you want to see growth in, I want you to be real with yourself. Ask yourself whether you have an open or a closed mindset. Make sure it's open before you dive in, or you'll be going from page to page thinking about all the reasons why this isn't going to work for you or why it doesn't apply to you. The sad thing is that the people who are open to it will be reading the same words, yet finding the evidence that it does apply to them. And those people will be the ones who have their lives changed forever. Don't do that to yourself. You deserve it as much as anyone else. On the topic of growth, my mentor Josh Coates, whom you'll hear me repeatedly talk about in this book because of the impact he has made and continues to make every day on my life, he said something extremely powerful to me early on in my coaching career. He said, your outward success is a reflection of your inner growth. Meaning, if you want the outside to change, you need to first focus on the inside. Personal growth is the transformation that must come first, before there's any outside evidence that it's working. And when it starts to work, it's like a seed sprouting up from the underground. When it first sprouts out of the ground, you may be upset that it's not growing as quickly as you want it to grow. That's because you can't see the roots and the growth that's happening underground. If you're not careful, you'll pick the sprout and try to plant it somewhere else, effectively killing it. Don't do that. Just keep watering it and giving it sunlight and proper soil, and before you know it, the growth above ground will catch up to what's underneath. Make a decision. There's one thing I want to talk about before we jump in. That is the idea of making a decision. You heard my story that I decided to do something about my life when I hit what I believed was my rock bottom. I want to make sure that you understand what that means. Deciding means that you're going to do it until it works, not until it gets hard. The most freeing feeling comes after you decide. Our brains try to trick us into thinking there's a right and wrong decision, or that we should put it off because now is not the right time. The worst thing you could do for yourself is to be in indecision mode. It feels terrible. You are deciding at that moment, but it just doesn't feel like it. You're deciding not to do it by default. There's a different type of energy you'll get from making a decision on purpose versus the decision being made by default. Whenever I'm given the opportunity to decide, I weigh the pros and cons and then decisively act. Whatever I decide to do or not do, I stand by that decision and I move on. I choose to believe that it was the best decision based on the information I had at the time, and it would be unfair to beat myself up about it later after I had new information. It's when I'm moving back and forth between the two decisions or putting it off until I have enough information to 100% know it's the right decision that I feel anxious. I've come to realize that, for me, it's a terrible place to be because it flows through everything I touch until I make that decision. So instead, I decide one way and I stand by it. I saw something pop across my Instagram newsfeed that said most people take a long time to decide, but are quick to change a decision. Successful people are quite the opposite. They make decisions quickly and are slow to change them. Even though I can see both sides of that coin, I most definitely agree with the latter statement. So many people take years to decide, And after the first week, they change their minds because what they chose hasn't given them tangible results. Don't do that for yourself. That could have been that thing that changed your life forever if you had given it enough time. Decide to go all in or decide to go all out. It's the most freeing thing you'll experience once you do it. You won't be using any more brain power and can divert it to what you really want. I want you to do the same with this book. Decide. If you're ready to go all in with this book, then it's go time. It's time to take ownership of where you are right now and get uncomfortable. Your results are right around the corner.